You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show.
Glad to be here, Jim.
Mark, how would you describe the state of the stock market right now, and is it getting too toppy and time to bail?
Well, we already bailed here. You know, I went to cash across the board. Subscribers don't like to see that, but, you know, earlier in the week we just got out. I sold everything, including my blockchain letter. We went to cash on the crypto as well. Gold, we're out of, even before that, we've been out for a couple of weeks with gold. So we're just sitting in cash. And bottom line is, if you just look at basic technical analysis, you just look at a chart of the S&P, and I can't show you, obviously, on a radio interview, but, you know, it's the giant trend lines from the bottom lows in recent years to the recent tops. And we went right to the top of that trend line, technically, here in the last week or so. And a lot of it was accompanied by, you know, AI and NVIDIA, Apple computer mania. It's like two, three stocks are running the entire market, which, frankly, from a cynical point of view, I see as sort of a form of manipulation. But I've been in this business for too many years. I mean, when you see the markets down hundreds of points and Apple computer is still up, for example, and NVIDIA is still up, I mean, there's some shenanigans going on there. And or they just have they sold a bill of goods to people that are just sort of naive and don't mind buying stocks at all-time highs. So, you know, bottom line is, yes, we had big resistance, way overdone, too much mania. Most of the market advance is just a handful of stocks. We've known this for a while, but it really got bad here in the last few weeks. I mean, it's like 70% of the stocks in the S&P really weren't performing, but 30% were. You know, my model was positive overall for the year, but, you know, we're coming into the end of the year, and we could have seen the bull market highs. It's possible. But what might save the market, and maybe we're stretching it here a little bit, is the traditional turkey shoot, which occurs just before or after U.S. Thanksgiving. And maybe we're setting up for a turkey shoot rally. Now, I didn't invent that. That came from an old friend of mine and market genius, Yale Hirsch, who invented the wrote the Stock Trader's Almanac way back in the 1970s. So he invented and talked about that concept. And, you know, what it says is you tend to get a rally around that point. Now, if you're selling off now, maybe we'll have a turkey shoot rally. And then, of course, we're going to start hearing about the Santa Claus rally in December. And will they set the market into a another rally frenzy here around these cyclical holidays? So we're just going to watch the charts, but we did hit a top here short term. We'll just see how it plays out here into November and possibly even into December. And, you know, we'll pretty much take it a day at a time. Now, part of the sell-off we just saw was a result of Jay Powell, you know, our favorite Federal Reserve Board chairman. The expression I like to use and others have used is the market got Powell-ized, because he made a comment, you know, like within the last week or so, just before the market broke, about, well, maybe we're not going to lower interest rates in December, or we have to think about it. And, you know, he's done this a couple times already. I think it was just a few weeks before that he came out with a comment more or less saying the markets were overvalued or they were too expensive, and then we went to a little bit of a correction. So this guy is a little bit like Alan Greenspan. Remember Alan Greenspan years ago, who talked about the market having irrational exuberance, you know? So something about being in the position of a Fed chairman, you start making ridiculous market comments. Of course, Alan Greenspan was dead wrong because he thought the market was overly exuberant, thousands of points lower. And Powell, of course, his days are numbered. You know, he's going to be replaced mid-next year. So maybe he wants to say and do anything, you know, that comes to mind. But, you know, that had part and parcel part of the problem here. So a lot of other things we can talk about here, but those are sort of the main events, but everything came in. You know, crypto topped out. Bitcoin got to 126,000. It got to, I think, 99,000 here in the last day or so, and it's sitting right at support. And if it doesn't hold this area, it could be headed into the very low 90s or even the high 70s, if not worse. Gold topped out at too much exuberance when gold got to toward that 4,500 level. And silver went crazy. I think it was $53 or $54, and everybody's jumping up and down. But the chart said you're way overdone. It was a blow-off. So it could be temporary. I'm not saying we're going to hell in a handbasket in silver and gold, but the gold looks like it may drop toward 3,000, and silver possibly the high 30s or low 40s. So, and this is more of a near-term comment. So, you know, we had blow-off action here short-term, and, you know, that's part and parcel to, exuberance here in the market. So, what else can we, we can talk about? I mean, what's his name? Our friend Warren Buffett. He just raised $6.1 billion in selling stocks here, apparently in his most recent quarterly report for Berkshire Hathaway, and he's probably the best market manager in market history in terms of returns. What is it, annualized 20% a year, that type of stuff? And he's sitting on nearly $400 billion in cash, and he's been nervous about the market for a while, so he's getting ready for a market sell-off or crash or some event that he could put that money to work. And I would fight, Warren Buffett, and he's been right. I mean, it's been a handful of stocks. If you're in, if you're in NVIDIA or you're in Microsoft and you own two or three key stocks, so you can laugh at Warren Buffett for the last few months. But, vast majority of stocks, 60-70% of stocks, way underperform, and that tells you there's something wrong underlying the state of the market. So when someone like Warren Buffett's got nearly $400 billion in cash selling stocks and getting into a cash position, if you remember way back, this is 2008 and 2009, when we had the big, market crash, and everything fell apart, the Lehman Brothers collapse and all those things. If I remember correctly, Warren Buffett came in and saved Goldman Sachs, which was about to go under financially, because he had so much cash, he cut a deal to save Goldman Sachs, which is probably your biggest market operator out there. So, when Warren's raising cash like that, you got to really pay attention. And something else interesting I thought this past week or so is our old friend Bill Gates. Who's been really a climate hawk for so many years. He came out and basically made a comment. He says, "Well, global warming and climate change is not going to lead to any demise of humanity." So we sort of backed off from this nonsense that we've been hearing for the longest time, with the global warming risks and how the humanity's future is at risk, on and on and on, which I think was all a bunch of BS and has been just a way to make a bunch of money on the part of, Wall Street and others who are promoting that theory. So I thought that was really sort of revolutionary that someone like Bill Gates changed his mind this past week or so. So, a lot of cool stuff going on out there. And, we can talk about other things, but that's sort of the highlight of the past week.
I think what Bill Gates basically said was there really isn't much humans can do about climate change, because usually it has to do with Earth's orbit, its tilt, solar activity, and asteroid hits. And there's not much humans or volcanic activity, nothing that we can do about them. But he said, mitigate it. If you know things are changing and oceans are going to rise, whatever, like help out the people in the low-lying Pacific Ocean islands, build seawalls, evacuate them, take them to new areas, that kind of thing. To me, that always made sense, because we know climate always changes. It doesn't, like I said, you might as well burn pennies in a pot and hope for that to change the climate in your favor.
Right. And, it's good that someone, it's unfortunate that he had the other view for so long, but it's good to hear some rational thought about the whole process here, finally, being talked about, because, like you say, there's not much we can do about it if it's happening, and we could try to mitigate it as best we can, but, we made such a big deal about it, already talk about the end of the world here every moment. And, you know, you and I talk about other stuff. You know, there are solar flares and yeah. earthquakes and, you know, earth-changing events that we really can't control. So humankind has been subjected to this forever. And, you know, many believe we had many high civilizations on this planet going back hundreds of thousands of years that are long buried.
Millions of years.
It might have had speculation there were civilizations with high technology, even as equal to what we have today, but got wiped out because of a global, shift of the crust or of a polar shift or some other dramatic event, as you said, or asteroid. So, you know, we could have had many, could have written this story many times here on this planet, and we're just starting over again, so to speak, in the last 5 or 6 thousand years. So we really have little control of our destiny when we rely on, you know, Mother Nature.
Well, weren't the Inca or Mayan civilizations, I always get them mixed up. One of them, the one in the Andes, wiped out due to a prolonged drought. Bangkor Wat in Thailand was a city of canals, and it suffered from a century-long drought, and it wiped them out. Things happen, and quite often it is connected to volcanic activity.
But even here in Arizona, I mean, northern Arizona, you had the Anasazi Indians, a high civilization, and then it was 1,200 years ago, they just disappeared. And could have been, as you say, could have been a climate change, rain, they couldn't grow crops, and suddenly a whole civilization, a whole group of people are gone, you know, in a relatively short period of time, and all that's left now are monuments that they created back then. And that's just one of hundreds of examples that are out there. So yeah, it's, you know, it sort of puts us in our place, so to speak, of who we really are and what power we really have, you know.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, you were talking about the stock markets and gold. What about other metals like copper or palladium or platinum?
Everything took a nosedive. You know, it's the old expression, you know, the market collapses, they throw the baby out with the bathwater. You know, when liquidation starts to occur, there are margin calls in the market, people have to raise capital, you know, and basically when the markets implode, everything, you know, seems to go down. One market that did turn up here a little bit, I think I mentioned in last week's interview, was natural gas start to uptick here a little bit. It's still way, way cheap, and potentially a long way to go to the upside if it really chooses to do that. So we were playing that a little bit, you know, the speculation about natural gas is it's an energy source until which time nuclear kicks in, and it could, you know, it's particularly with winter, you know, coming on board here in North America and the rest of the northern hemisphere, that would also be impetus for higher prices. But not much was really, you know, going up. There's a couple individual stocks here and there, no question about it, but I think it's just, you know, the market got tired, hit big resistance, somebody hit the sell button. And also there's the theory, and it's not theory, but, you know, look at money managers who for the most part had huge gains this year, and many are compensated based on their performance. So why not take profits in November? Why you want to wait till December 31st to sell out? Who knows what the market's going to do in the last 30 days? You could lose a good part of your profit, good part of the fees that you've earned by being in the market these past several months. So, you know, many smart money managers start selling off and saying, gee, it's, you know, already November, let's get out. Let's ring the register. We got some nice gains, and many are, like I said, compensated based on their performance. And that may be part and parcel to the whole event. So whenever everything comes down, palladium, platinum, gold, stocks, you know, the whole kit and caboodle starts to implode here as liquidation unfolds, people take profits. And but, you know, I can't sit here and predict that it's going to be down from here to the end of the year. It may be just a big shakeout just before a Thanksgiving turkey shoot or Santa Claus rally. That could happen, and we watch these things every day. But it made a lot of sense that we did, you know, big resistance technically, and Jay Powell's, you know, comment about no increase, you know, reduction in interest rates, that is, next month possibly, and all that other kind of stuff spooked a lot of people. And I think that it's part and parcel of what's happened.
Anything on the geocosmic front that we should be paying attention to?
Yeah, well, you know, there are a couple solar flares that were, well, we have the full moon here too, by the way. I know we don't talk about that too often, but that just hit here the last couple of days. So, you know, sometimes you get change of directions around the lunar cycles, and sure enough, you know, it just came within a day or so of the peak here in the last couple of days. If you look at it, it was a couple of days ago.
Supermoon.
Back to the full. Yeah, right. Supermoon, you know, it was a couple of days either side. It's not exactly pinpoint to the exact moment, but this was a time frame where you can get a market change of direction based on a lunar cycle. And this one, you know, fudging it a couple of days was pretty much on target. And it's supposed to be a direct CME impact. You know, that's a solar flare impact. Supposed to be in the early hours of November 7th. And they're trying to see, there might be another one the next day on the 8th. They call it a 1-2 punch, so to speak, of solar flares is supposed to be hitting next day or two. If you go to the spaceweather.com website, they talk about that. So, yeah, that's about the only things that I see cyclically. Of course, we've had some storms around the planet. You know, we had the big hurricane down in Jamaica, and there was a big typhoon that hit Vietnam, I think, in the last 24 hours, and the Pacific. So we've had some, you know, hurricane typhoon activity too, and you know, unless you're there, being hit by it, you know, we all seem, you know, we are sort of all impervious to that, and we just see it as a story. But it's a real disaster for the people that are in those areas. So we've had a couple really super storms here that have affected the lives of a lot of people. So it's not unusual to have late cyclonic storms. You know, everybody thinks that hurricanes or typhoons are only in the summer, but there have been some really nasty ones even as late as October, November. In fact, I experienced one as a kid when I was in Florida that came in late October. So that's also been happening. So that's what's going on in the geocosmic at the moment.
Well, I was going to say, and just here in BC, we have what they call an atmospheric river. So 3 to 4 inches of rain and winds of around 60 miles an hour in some places. So it's nasty, probably not deadly, but not nice.
No, no. Now, if you're there, it's disaster for you. You know, the people don't, you know, they're not sensitive to it unless they've been through one of these before. But if you've been in a typhoon or a hurricane, and like I said, I experienced one of them as a kid, it's not pleasant.
Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us.
My pleasure.
My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He was speaking to us from Arizona. If you have any questions for Mark or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. We'll ask that question for you. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at @HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.